Once upon a time, there was an internet radio station called PTN. One day they met a psychic named Rosa Miranda and agreed to air her show. The doctors say the rash and eye twitches will lessen in time. Welcome to the January 18th, 2011 edition of Get Resmerized. I'm your host, Res Miranda. My site is resmerized.com, and I'm live at the moment on PTN Radio. Just go to paranormaltvnetwork.com or peoplestvnetwork.com and look for the menu item on the right. It's a big old sign. Big ol' icon that says PTN Radio. That's where we're at. If you want to listen to some that you missed, you can go to my site. All my archives are there. And who the heck am I anyway? I am your online psychic. Yes. That means I give psychic readings for a living. That also means I do live internet radio shows and record internet radio shows in which I tell you how to be psychic. And lots of other fun things. And not just the usual, you know. Think of the white light. Surround yourself with white light. Surround yourself with fairies. No, don't do that. Seriously, don't do that. No. We get into the guts of the thing. You know what I'm saying? This ain't your mama's psychic show. Oh, no. Tonight, we're going to talk about a couple different things. But I promise you, you may have a rash by the time it's all over, too. There are two major forces at work, it seems, in the field of the paranormal right now. I wanted to say a few words and just give my perspective on things and hopefully give you one you didn't have. Or if you did have it, congratulations. Anyway, there are two major forces at work, it seems. On one side, we have those who are on a personal and a very serious quest for proof of the paranormal. I'm all for that. The other side, there are those who focus primarily on the celebrity level, parafame, I call it. Those who've gotten a degree of attention and notoriety, believe their own PR, make no mistake. The first thing you have to do here is realize that TV is TV. Entertainment is just that. And it's never any TV network's job to make you feel assured that they're giving you anything but entertainment. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But let's not get our collective panties in a twist over that concept, okay? If anyone comes along with a paranormal investigating show that is totally factual, it's going to have to be like 8 hours long or 12 hours long, and nobody's attention span can handle that one. That's why you're more likely to find the real deals on internet networks and sites just like Paranormal TV Network and BTN Radio, by the way. As the field progresses forward, and frankly, whether or not that's happening seems questionable right now. Debates and agreements and disagreements happen. It's the nature of the beast when anyone is trying to prove or disprove anyone else's faith in anything. First, for those who want concrete evidence, who wish to once and for all settle the matter of the paranormal through the collection of hard evidence and the disbelief of any story that relies on witness testimony solely or leaves too much of the imagination, right on. Right from the start, this kind of group has its work cut out for it, because it seems the very nature of these kinds of supernatural forces seems to somehow rebel against leaving behind any trace of evidence other than eyewitness testimony, except on a rare and random occasion. And even this testimony is often unsure of anything other than the fact that something happened. We still cannot fathom precisely the forces at work, and therefore we're left wondering if the field should take new and innovative approaches to the question and search for the truth. And again, I think so. It's my personal opinion that that needs to happen. And then there are those folks who focus on the folklore aspects of the paranormal, suggesting ghost stories, tales of alien interaction with humans, the suggestion that maybe the Jersey Devil may really be out there lurking, the idea that Bigfoot could somehow spontaneously appear in any environment are more than enough to sustain this field, really. These individuals do not engage in conflict with skeptics, instead wishing only to learn more of the folklore and eyewitness accounts of others, and look with interest at the possibility that each new ghost picture could be more than just a hoax. These individuals are the keepers of folklore and the tellers of legends, and yes, we do need them, driven by an interest in all things Fortean and always alluding to something greater in the universe, but never necessarily committing to its existence themselves. The willing suspension of disbelief is one of the tools they've been dealing with. Tales of bat squatch or reading old tabloid newspapers, that sort of thing. I personally admit to being a true believer that we are deluded if we think we're the only beings that exist and are able to communicate with each other. So, if the field is to move in new directions, how do we separate the stigma it receives from stories about presidential candidates receiving sponsorship from Bat Squatch and the more serious study of psychic phenomena and a genuine interest in UFO disclosure? Perhaps the first step is recognizing this difference, the differences between us all, and moving forward from there. Notice I said recognize, not attack. Because I believe there's room for everybody, unless you're just plain full of it. Are you an entertainer or a researcher or both? Why are you in paranormal research, and what is it you really want from it? There's no wrong answer to that, really. And I don't care if you think you know. Ask yourself that question again. What's it going to hurt? But it's important that you not lose sight of that answer, whatever that may be for you. When I first got involved in internet radio, the number of paranormal shows hosted by investigators or self-proclaimed demonologists could be counted on one hand. Don't get me wrong, I totally love the fact that serious interest in the paranormal has increased 1,000-fold. But what really just tweaks my tomato is that anyone, and I do mean anyone involved, thinks that They have the news, the scoop, the real deal, the final word, the end-all be-all of information and proof. So much so that they think reverting to their personal version of, I know you are, but what am I, is going to help in any way, shape, or form. I'm all for calling a spade a fraud if that's what's happening. But there's a right way and a wrong way. In my not very humble opinion, most people who give in to the arrogance of believing they're really all that or better than anyone else because they got there first eventually takes a great fall from their high horse right on their nether regions. They don't need any help to do that from the rest of the community. Integrity and credibility are the natural outcomes of sincerity, attention to detail, and a refusal to claim the whole sandbox for Spain. We don't need to hide from the truth, but we can't manufacture it either. Higher Ground is an awesome place to be. It's got the very best view of the whole thing, and you can learn a lot more by being the observer than the shit stirrer. Let us remember that while we all want that magnificent feeling of wonder that comes with experiencing something we can't explain, and we all want to learn the truth about other dimensions and what happens when we die, losing sight of the things that matter in the land of the living will ensure your focus remains on what you didn't do, coulda, shoulda, woulda, when it's your turn to cross over. Let us remember that we are each creating our own eternity right now. We'll be back in just a minute.
Shh.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Ah, Devil Ether. It makes you behave like the village drunkard in some early Irish novel. Total loss of all basic motor skills. Blurred vision, no balance, numb tongue. The mind recoils in horror, unable to communicate with the spinal column. Which is interesting because you can actually watch yourself behaving in this terrible way, but you can't control it.
Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Hi Ho. Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Hi Ho. Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Chani Ho. Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Chani Ho. A mola Mecca Mala, Mecca Chala Mola Hey. Mola Mecca Mala, 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 Mala. Whoa!
The wish is granted. Long live Jambi.
Welcome to the Psychic's Lounge. Your table awaits you. Walk this way.
Welcome back, and we're going to talk about psychic self-defense, not just how to do it. Well, maybe that too a little bit later on, but you know, it helps to be informed. But how to protect yourself from psychic attack, what is it, you know? And like I said at the beginning of the show, not just your usual, you know, just picture a white light around you and say an affirmation 49,000 times a day that nothing will hurt me, nothing will hurt me. You know, that's ridiculous. Don't do that stuff. It doesn't work. The term psychic attack covers really a broad spectrum of situations in which one person who can be considered the aggressor deliberately projects a clearly defined malicious intent upon the non-physical person of another. That's not saying that you're not physical. It's saying that they're directly focusing a deliberate projection, thought, belief, intent toward your brain, your mind, yourself, your soul, you know, the parts of you that matter. Okay. The intended results of the attack might affect the physical body, though, of course, through disease or even death, God forbid, or whoever. can make you sick, headaches, that kind of thing. Yeah, can have definite and varied physical effects. But the attack itself is aimed at the non-physical planes of the human energy field. Aha, it gets a little bit more complicated than just thinking bad thoughts about somebody. Psychic attacks range in complexity really from very brief but highly emotionally charged anger, you know, a really severe hatred, you know, with a sincere wish for some really clearly defined negative consequence, to the very complicated ritualistic practice of malicious sorcery. And yes, that does exist, but it's important to remember that not just everybody can do that or should do that. But, you know, there are some people on this planet who will do that and who are damn serious about it. Although the practice of psychic attack covers really such a broad spectrum, the principles of psychic self-defense really are more universal. Once you've mastered the techniques of psychic self-defense, in the absence of some really superior power, you know, I doubt that any of us really are going to run into someone who's just a phenomenal sorcerer, really. You know, you can't just go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble and buy a book on black magic and or sorcery or on curses or on mind control even, or Wicca especially, or anything like that, and expect to, you know, now that I've read it, I'm an expert and I'm good at this and I can do this and nobody could ever attack me psychically, but I can do it if I want, you know, forget that. Just forget it. Do I want you to be informed? Absolutely. Do I want you to get real big-headed about it and make some really stupid mistakes by being in a hurry and not taking your time? And when I say taking your time, I mean years of research and practice, not the weekend. Okay. So I think you get my drift, you know. So if you think that you're a victim of a psychic attack originating from somebody who really knows what they're doing, I really urge you to seek professional assistance immediately. And I'm not talking about a psychiatrist. I'm talking about somebody who really, really can reverse the effects of it. Whether that's, you know, that can be your clergy. If you're someone who is a religious person, go to them first. All right. And, you know, because, and the reason I say that, even though I'm not a religious person, is I know that many of you are. And what's important here and what's effective in any kind of psychic work or mind work, mind control, if you will, which is, I feel this can be, this is under that umbrella, is that it's your beliefs or the person's beliefs and their beliefs and their intent that makes it work, that makes it happen. So that's why I say that. They can originate from sources like that. So, you know, whatever you believe is going to be the most effective for you will be, you know. If you're, for instance, a fundamentalist Christian and you feel like somebody has cursed you, you know, first of all, if you're a fundamentalist Christian, don't say you won't believe that won't happen, because you will. You know, people like that generally see demons around every corner, you know, and so they're going to, believe it or not, have more of a tendency than you think to believe something like that would happen to them. So they would, you know, go to their clergy, I guess, whatever. But you know what? You would not believe how many people I get, and we all get, for psychic readings who say in their real life that we're all working for Satan. But they come and get readings from us anyway. I just think that's so interesting. And do I give them gladly, happily, and accurately? Yes, I do. Absolutely. So to understand psychic attack really well, let's look at five principles, universal principles, if you will. This is the thing that makes psychic attack work. Why am I telling you all this? Because I want you to really understand it. Because you can be affected by it. Especially if you are in the line of work that I'm in, psychic readings and spiritual counseling and paranormal investigating or paranormal interests, if any of these things, if you're involved in any of them on any level, you can be a target. Absolutely. So let's look at these five principles, desire, intent, alignment, ritual, and expectation. All right. Now, psychic attack. The desire aspect of this act of attacking someone psychically is based not only on the aggressor's desire to inflict it, to do it, but on their motive as well. It's really important to understand that a psychic attack is not an accident. It's usually deliberate. So, you know, you don't need to be paranoid and silly about it and worry about, oh, I'm in, you know, I feel like I'm in the room with a lot of negative people and they might psychically attack me. You know, don't be an idiot. Grow up. Okay. That's not no. Okay. It's usually happens on purpose. The ones that are effective. Okay. You can, if you're very empathetic or empathic, you can absorb other people's energy. Yes, and you can feel what other people are feeling, but that's not the same thing as being attacked. All right. Because of this perception factor, okay, and when I say that, the aggressor is going to have the perception that they're perfectly justified in what they're doing. In order for a psychic attack to be effective, they have to believe that they're totally justified. They can't be afraid to do it, and they're not afraid to do it, and they can't be talked out of it 9 times out of 10. So you're beginning to see, I think, what a tremendous amount of not just intent, but of actual work this takes to do. Now, the intent aspect is the clearly defined result or the outcome of the attack. This is what they have in their head. This is what they intend for your well-being or lack thereof. Okay. This can include virtually anything that you can think of. Extreme financial loss, illness, lose something or someone, nothing goes right for you for a specified period of time, any kind of illness really, and the way other people begin to perceive you even, that can happen too. The more forethought and clearly defined programming that the psychic attacker completes, the more of their homework that they do, the more successful their assault will be. So lacking any adequate defenses by you, because you're probably not going to know that they're working on this. To be most effective, attacks would include such programming as the time and place that it's going to occur, even to produce the maximum vulnerability, the victim's point of vulnerability. So for instance, they may, you know, it's there's a lot written about the time of night. For instance, when we're sleeping, that when we've gotten into REM sleep, when you've gotten into REM sleep is when you're the most vulnerable or easily influenced by psychic energy. And that can be good and that can be bad. I believe that's true because that's the point at which you can have prophetic dreams, or you can have communication on the astral level with other people and other beings too. That's when that happens, because your walls are down. And like I said, for obvious reasons, that's a good thing and a bad thing. So the alignment aspect of a psychic attack, the aggressor has to eliminate any kind of internal conflict within themselves. They can't second guess themselves. They can't have a little voice in the back of their head saying, oh, I don't know if this is a nice thing to do or the right thing to do. They have to eliminate all of that as it relates to what's going on. That's part of feeling perfectly justified. It's normally generated when there's a moral issue associated with the intended attack. You know, the purest act, meaning the most effective, I guess would be the word, will manifest with the greatest expectation of success when there is no conflict whatsoever. You know, even in just performing perhaps your job or certain tasks during your daily life, that or cooking may be a better example. If you're working on an important recipe or an important meal, you know that if you have the absolute expectation and intent that it's going to turn out wonderfully, exactly the way you wanted it, and that's perfectly justified in your mind, and there's no reason that won't happen, and you never second guess it, and you take your time, then you're going to have a successful event like that. It's the same with psychic attack, all right? So ritual is an aspect that generates and focuses the power necessary to accomplish the attack. Now, you know, again, I'll revert back to the religious folks, the churchgoers, or even pagans, anyone that is that participates in religious ritual of any kind, you know that whether it's the incense or the candles or the music or the items on an altar or the furniture or your surroundings are all there for one reason: to put you in a successful state of mind for what you are about to attempt. Whether that's a magical ritual, a meditation, a religious ritual, that's what it's all for, to put you where you're supposed to be, all right? So they can be, the person who's going to do the psychic attack can make it as complicated or as simple as they want. But if they're any good at it, they know that they've got to have certain things to put them in the right state of mind in order to be successful. Okay. A lot of times they'll use the likeness of the intended victim, a kind of a doll, not necessarily a voodoo doll, you know, but there's a, some people call this a poppet, something that will represent you to that person. Okay. They'll attach any available personal items, you know, including hair, clothing, jewelry, anything like that of yours that they might have, even a picture of you that maybe you didn't know they had. So it would be a good time to go on Facebook and see who's tagged you, maybe. So this thing now becomes the representation of you and now becomes the focus of all that intent and all of that expectation and all of that justification. Ew, I don't want anybody to do that to me, you know? So you see, it's so much more than just thinking, I wish that guy would fall out of a tree. Having not completed all of those particular steps that I just talked about, the aggressor has to watch and wait with an amount of expectation. And I'm not talking about, oh, I hope this works, or I hope it turns out, or gee, I wish it would really work, you know, stuff like that. It has to be, I know that I know that I know. I've done what I'm supposed to do, and it's going to turn out this way and that way. End of story. That's that. Can't be talked out of it. And then they're able to walk away from it. And that's what you do. You let it go and you walk away from it. Now, this is a good time for the aggressor. And we'll talk about you, the victim, more in a minute. And how to protect yourself from all of this this crazy stuff as we go on. So don't get impatient, but we'll get to that. Anyone that they don't even think that anybody's going to try and oppose them, or they're going to have the power to oppose them, all right? Because that is a thought form that can weaken their intent. So you've got a very determined, powerful being, you know, trying to muck up the works. And we're going to also talk about how you know you're under psychic attack too, and all that kind of stuff too. So that's just kind of a summary. It sounds like there's a lot to it when someone's going to purposely psychically attack you and it's going to be effective. And it is. It really is. But, you know, there's nothing like, boy, they say you cannot, there's no point in arguing with a person with a lot of conviction. And that's exactly what it takes, you know, to do something like this. Now, I have to say too that it also takes that kind of intent and energy and focus and personal power, if you will, to accomplish good things, you know. So, you know what, that's why, exactly why you can't expect to just go buy yourself a book or watch a DVD and get a few lessons and expect to accomplish things that can go under the umbrella of manipulating energy. Because it can be done for bad and it can be done for good just as well and just as easily. You know, when I mean easily, I mean, you know, be the better person, you know. Instead of attacking, maybe you want to stop something or bind something or, you know, or grow something or heal something or someone. That's the kind of focus and energy it takes, all right? So think about those things. I'll be looking at the chat room again, and if you have any questions in there, I'll be sure and answer them when we come right back. Woo-wee, boy, it's a lot of work being, you know, protected and formed, but totally worth it, because Resi won't have you just going out there in the great big old bad psychic paranormal world unarmed. And she'll fix her tongue too when she comes back.
Girl, you really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
Thank you, Kinks. And what do we really got? We got information. We got self-awareness. We got the intuition. We got the ways to make it better, stronger, and useful to us instead of being the victims like so many other people. Do you know that you can be influenced by absolutely everything you hear, you feel, you see? You know, it just really gets me when I come across somebody who keeps their television on all the time. You know those people, and I hope you're not one of them. If you are, unplug that sucker. Give the cable the notice that they're history and forget about it. Do you want to be a mindless zombie? I just want you to be one of my zombies. So listen up. What are the symptoms of psychic attack? The symptoms or effects of a psychic attack are really individual, actually. It depends on the person. Where and how the attack will affect you or the intended victim is actually individually programmed by the aggressor. There are some general warning signs. How do you know that you might be under attack? How do you know somebody's doing this to you on purpose? Remember, any of these things by themselves probably don't mean that you're being psychically attacked. But if you notice, I would say at least half or more of them, then something's going on there and you need to talk to somebody who can get you out of it, or you need to get out of it yourself. Always, always, always ask me for help with that. Res at resmerized.com, resmerized.com, and psychicaccess.com. I have a chat room there, by the way, and so do all the other psychics, that you can just come in and ask us about this kind of stuff, and it's free. Did you know that? And you can get 6 minutes free if you're not a member already. Anyhow, lacking any formal notification from the aggressor, meaning they didn't tell you anything, they didn't give you any kind of hint, you're left to figure it out on your own. So here's the warning signs. Again, kind of general, but I think they'll give you enough information to know. Number one would be a feeling like a weight is pressing down on you while you're asleep or dreaming. Now, I think that all of us at one time or another have had that experience where you feel like you can't move, sleep paralysis, so you're kind of awake and you're kind of not, and you want to turn over and you realize, I can't, and you can't scream or you can't do anything. And after a couple of minutes, that comes back. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is a feeling like you are just being squashed like a bug, you know, like something is really honestly, sincerely holding you down for a longer period of time. Number two is a continuous and intensifying sense of oppression or fear while you're awake. You know, you start out thinking you saw something out of the corner of your eye and you dismiss it, and a few minutes later, you feel like you're being watched, and then you feel like maybe you're getting a little dizzy, or maybe you just feel nervous and uncentered, and you don't know why. Number three is nervous exhaustion, or just letting yourself totally go. And this can be from any extreme to either becoming a total gluttonous pig when that's not who you are. And I'm not talking about the occasional binge, girls. I'm talking about, or guys with beer, whatever. Or it can be the opposite, where you just stop caring about eating at all, or taking care of yourself. You're just wired, and you don't know why. You don't feel like doing anything. You can't do anything, and you can't focus on anything. And if there's no medically diagnosable physical cause for any of that, that could be a little tip off for you right there. Number four is being really terrified of going to sleep due to probably constant repetitive nightmares. You know, if you're having nightmares every single night and they don't make sense, or if you're having a lot of dreams about being chased or being harmed in some way physically, if those are recurring, that's a real major one right there. Not just one or two. I'm talking about several nights at least. And then if it stops and then starts up again, you get a problem. Number five is the feeling of being stalked by someone other than a physical person. Feeling like there's somebody watching you just about all the time. or somebody's following you or keeping an eye on you all the time. Number six is obnoxious smells that come and go with no apparent reason. You can't find anything. Nothing's happening. You didn't burn anything. Your doggy didn't make a boo-boo, anything like that. No apparent physical cause. Even things like, and it's never anything that smells good, I guess is the point. It's something that you can only identify as disgusting. Now, they'll be noticed by anybody else who's around too, probably. So if you have someone with you and that happens, ask them, do you smell that? Not pleasant. But it's not supposed to be. Number seven is a sudden and inexplicable desire not to be alone. You can't be alone. You're scared to be alone. You don't want to be alone. This isn't just feeling lonely and wanting somebody around, but more like an obsession. You can't be left alone even for a minute. That sort of feeling. Number eight is an inexplicable outbreak of fire. Now, I laugh, but, you know, that can happen. And you see maybe why I said that someone who's going to do this to you on purpose has to be really good at it, has to be really, you know, the force of someone's will really can become that severe. Chances are that will never happen to you, but it can. Or you get an unexpected fever that's not associated, again, with any kind of illness. A doctor can't figure it out. Elemental activity is usually blamed for that. You know, elementals, you know, like I'm talking about in a magical sense. This is often associated, this particular effect, with somebody that's practicing culture-specific magic, like Egyptian magic or chaos magic or even Wiccan if they're, you know, but if they're a good little Wiccan, they won't be trying to do this to you anyway. The intuitive or visible presence, number nine, of a manifest thought form. Like a ghost, but it's man-made. Did you know that people can actually project their presence to other places, have an out-of-body experience on purpose? Or, you know, this, I think, may be one thing that shadow people could be. You know, one theory to explain a possible shadow person is the manifestation of a thought form. Now, a manifestation of a thought form doesn't have to look like a person. It can look like any other kind of image. It can look like any kind of object, anything. It can even look like something that the person who's doing this to you knows you're afraid of. You know, like spiders or fire, like we mentioned above. Number 10 is an inexplicable numbing, followed by a kind of paralysis beginning at your feet and extending up your body. Again, if it's not associated, if that's happening to you, definitely be seen by somebody medical, by a medical person, by a doctor. But if they can't figure out what's causing that, another thing, okay? And the rapid and inexplicable onset of constant choking or suffocation. Sudden and inexplicable losses, like a financial downturn or a mysterious theft. You know, if you're starting to feel like, like bad luck is happening to you all the time, that you've just suddenly become unlucky, chances are you're being psychically attacked. And the last one is sudden and inexplicable pestilence, like flies, spiders, snakes, others, undesirable stuff like that, you know. Again, things, you know, you could associate a lot of things that are associated with a haunting to someone who is psychically attacking you. And that is something to keep in mind. You know, if you're in a haunted structure, in a house, hospital, whatever, and these things are happening to you, see what you can find out about people who may not want you to be there, living or dead. Because yes, that is another point I wanted to make, that the person can psychically attacks you doesn't have to be living. If they engaged in this sort of behavior while they were alive, they can certainly do it when they're not. Now, let's talk about the power of suggestion a little bit. The psychic attacker plots the attack, like we said. They get real specific about it. In order for it to be successful, it's got to penetrate your consciousness somehow. and it's got to implant itself deep within the subconscious. It's got to become your reality, in other words. It's got to be become very deep rooted in order to be effective. You have to believe it. By the time the attack's effects become noticeable, it's already happening. Damage is done. Now, the attack penetrates your subconscious and establishes itself. How that happens depends on how vulnerable you are. The entire human system is a complex bioelectromagnetic field, as you well know. The psychic attack is projected thought. It's an energy form, a very real, a very, very alive energy form. And it carries a magnetized imprint of a pattern programmed to disrupt a specific energy pattern within your subconscious. Now, I'm trying not to sneeze. It really doesn't matter how the attack penetrates your subconscious, how it does, but it's got to be significant. Attacks are always the product of some kind of form of suggestion. That's how they begin. It has to be suggested to you in some way. And you won't always be aware of that, especially people that are very good at neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis and things like that, or just have really darn good people skills, can suggest things to you. And, you know, suggestions can be put into your subconscious. Words are not the only mechanism, of course, as you know, if you think about it. Things like artwork, different objects in the room, the colors of a room, the way some place feels, the way you feel when you're with someone else. Things can be suggested to you. I mean, Wall Street has got that down. You know, Madison Avenue, I should say, has got that down, don't they? That's why I said, get your ass away from the TV. Because they're programming you. And they're suggesting things over and over and over and over again. Sensory input, it happens every single second that you're alive. This is the entire basis of subliminal programming. For weight loss, stop smoking, to become more motivated, or to heal yourself from a disease. It's all suggestion. And that, of course, can be a good thing or a bad thing. So how does this get through your auric field? And that's exactly what's happening, by the way. You have auric layers. They're kind of egg-shaped, if you will, surrounding you. It's luminous energy fields, light fields that can actually be detected with equipment, as you know. They encapsulate the entire body in ever-expanding layers of high-frequency energy fields. Each layer can be identified by location, color, brightness, form, density, fluidity, function. The layers are connected to the organs and biological systems of the body through a series of energy vortices called chakras. There's a word you're familiar with. The auric layers correspond to our chakras. And the closest layer to the physical body, the first layer, is connected to the first chakra, and so on. Beginning with the root chakra, that's begins in our genitals, and that's the 7-layer chakra, okay? And the 7 layers are, I'll just quickly go through each chakra. The base or root is associated with autonomic function, sexual energy, regeneration, creative drive. Layer 2, chakra 2, the sacral endocrine system, emotional aspects of human consciousness, and the others. If you want, I don't really feel like reading this whole list, and it might bore you to death, so I'm not going to do that, what all the chakras are associated with, but if you want to know that, please ask me and I'll email that to you. Any incoming attack has to attempt to access your subconscious that way through suggestion, and is going to penetrate those chakra layers, and that's what's going to be affected. Your conscious reality, or your physical body, through one or more of those channels. The object of the attack is to disrupt the natural harmony within your body and your illusion of reality. In other words, screw up your life, skew your perception. In other words, you know, in some cases, creating a disruption that you can actually feel physically, like we said. Now, in really severe cases, somebody who attacks you may do it on an ongoing basis. They'll try and exert such control over you as to actually own you. And that, what I mean by that is, you know, every time that you're around this person or they're around you, you find it easier to make them happy or to try and please them and try to avoid arguments, try to do whatever it is they say so they'll think more of you, you know, or even be more like them so they'll like you more. That kind of person has undue and unwelcome power psychically over you, all right? So protecting yourself, let's get down to that. Like I said before, it always makes me kind of giggle when I hear some of the ways that are proposed to protect somebody from a psychic attack. You know, they'll say, people will say, to protect myself from evil, I'm going to visualize a white light around me. You know, and the reason that that's ridiculous is because if you're doing that, or if you feel like you have to do that in the first place, you're scared, you know, or you have something to be afraid of. That's a negative emotion. That's only going to attract more of that to you, actually. How can you possibly create a protective anything around you when your thought forms are based in fear? Can't be done. Think about it. I bet you hadn't thought about it that way before. So what's the difference between people who, for instance, use affirmations successfully and those who don't? Some people, you know, they say that's a really good way to protect yourself too, is to use affirmations. You know, I always said, you can say, I'm a frog, I'm a frog, I'm a frog all day long, you know, for a month solid, and you'll never be one. But if you believe that your inner being is most frog-like, then you'll probably start behaving like a frog. So you see, the point is that it is really all in your head, and it's how important it is to you and how much you believe it. Those people who use affirmations, the five principles that we talked about before, the five principle laws that we talked about before, who use affirmations in that vein, in that way, with that kind of focus and intent, affirmations will be successful that way, and you can, psychic protection will happen that way. But they won't happen if you're shivering in the corner and you're, you know, drawing circles around yourself and putting on talismans and holding the right color candle in one hand and a voodoo doll in the other one. You know, you're going, oh, I'm protected. No, you're not. Especially from people who will make fun of you. So, any system lacking sufficient power to reach and affect the subconscious mind will fail. That is exactly why I'm constantly talking about strengthening your own psychic ability and your own intuitive ability. If you don't spend any time doing that, then you're going to be a great big old target. And people who would want to harm you psychically will probably do it. Now, I said before about how, and I have on other shows, about how powerful emotion is. This is the way that we are influenced the most. This is what makes us do anything. If you can influence somebody's emotion, you can make them want something. You can make them feel good or bad. You can make them feel any kind of, you know, run the gamut of emotions. You can inspire them to buy something. You can inspire them to leave something behind. You can really control someone if you become proficient at controlling their emotion. That's why you have to get good at controlling yours. Most people are people whose emotions just let things happen to them. They haven't realized that your emotions are something that you can control. And I'm talking about reactions, being reactionary too, you know. You say, well, you can't help what you feel at any given time. Yes, you can. You can notice it. Whatever it is you're feeling, whether it's fear or whether it's something more positive, you can notice what you're feeling, and then you can stop for a second, and then you can ask yourself, how am I going to react to that emotion, to that feeling? Am I going to accept it? Am I going to reject it? Am I going to react to it, or am I not going to react to it? And it's just that simple. You have a window of time, anytime you feel anything, to be aware of it and to make a choice about it every single time, every time. And if you can master that, you can be psychically and will be psychically protected no matter what. And you can also just as easily let your guard down. But the more that you do this, the less you'll let your guard down, because it'll become your natural way to live. It'll become second nature to you, all right? Now, the subconscious is always relating to symbols, you know. In one of the Batman movies, you see Batman's car. Everybody's impressed by his shield system, you know. When Batman wants a shield, he presses a button. And an armor plate covers the whole car, right? That's really symbolic of what we're talking about. Imagine yourself on symbolic command, completely engulfed in a huge armor cocoon. That is what you create with your mind, with the power of your intent, the power of your will, the refusal to allow fear and being reactionary to affect you, the refusal to feel, think, and do something just because something in somebody else or someone else wants you to. That is a very powerful thing. Feel it happening. Once you feel that happening within yourself, you can visualize it for real, and your visualization and your affirmations will work. Okay? So practice that. Definitely, definitely practice that. Now, there's a book by Max Freedom Long. It's called The Secret Science Behind Miracles. And he relates a story about a young Hawaiian man who inadvertently fell victim to a Huna death chant by breaking his village's taboo of having contact with white people. The white man, being familiar with the ways of Huna magic, recognized the advancing symptoms of the death chant and set about to release his young victim friend. The story relates that the white man worked himself into a frenzy of emotion. The white guy now, working feverishly over the young man, pleading the innocence and youth of the victim versus the wickedness and maliciousness of the aggressor. The white man worked constantly and tirelessly in this frenzy until he felt that something broke, that something had changed, the energy changed. Exhausted and wrung out from emotion, the white man collapsed. But immediately the effects of the death chant on the young man reversed its course until it was all gone, and the young man regained his strength. The story concludes with the fate of the kahuna aggressor, the psychic attacker. At the same hour that that spell released its intended victim, the kahuna began screaming and staggering about the village, wailing that he had failed to protect himself from his own spell, his own thoughts and energy, and that it had come back upon him. The kahuna, needless to say, died a slow and agonizing way, the same way he intended for his victim. As they say, the best defense is a good offense. Never overestimate your own power. Never underestimate the opposition. Never fail to protect yourself in all that you do. Always, always, always notice what you're feeling, ask yourself why you're feeling it, where it's coming from, and what you're going to do about it. The more you do that, the stronger you will get. Be constantly aware of your own feelings and intuition. If something feels out of place, then it is. Examine it. Notice that we constantly talk about intuition and feelings on this show. That's because awareness is never wasted. Every single minute counts, and every moment that you breathe matters. Care enough about yourself and those that you spend time with to do this, especially if you're going to hang around in creepy places and with creepy people. And I'm talking about me too, you know? You can't take this too lightly. And I hope you're not one of those people that just runs around in cemeteries going, let's see what I can record. You know, or old abandoned buildings that you don't have permission to be in with all your equipment, you know, and going, oh man, let's just see what happens if we start provoking ghosts and provoking spirits. Stupid. It's really stupid. Go about this the right way. Psychically protect yourself, or don't bother. Have enough respect for the death, for the dead, to know that they're not your play toys, and it will and can bite you in the butt for a long, long time, especially if you're not psychically protected. So there you have it. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes with some ways to block negative energy, the clairvoyant way, the way some of us psychics do it. And we'll have some of your questions, and we'll even do some free readings. So don't go away. We're not done yet.
If you'd like a free mini reading on the show, just go to Resmerize.com and send Res a Resmerandum. She'll talk about you in front of everybody. And now, Get Resmerize continues with your host, Res Miranda.
I would like to take a moment to say hello to everyone in the chat room. The last time I looked in there were 3 or 4 people, and now there's a whole bunch of people. I'm so very glad to see you, and thank you for coming. Hi, Chris from Beyond Normal Radio. He and his partner have a great video show here on ParanormalTVNetwork.com. Go check them out. Sequeria, Club Sequeria, hey girl, and Free. Hello, everybody. Oh, let's see, who else have we got? Free, I hope you're feeling better, for goodness sakes. Thank you for the nice compliments I'm getting in the room. Sean, nice to see you. Mark, everybody. Little brother Mike, always, 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 thank you for being here all the time. Now, let's see, what else have we got? And Misty Dawn does such great work on the websites and stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's talk about the psychic way to block negative energy real quick, and then we'll get on to the free readings and questions in the chat room. So think of something you want a reading about. And if I remember to turn my Skype on in a minute, I'll let you call me. I forgot to turn the darn thing on when I started the show. Psychics always have to be aware of negative energy, of course, you know. And one of the ways that I found is real effective to keep myself centered and positive and not end up a couple hours into doing readings frustrated and, you know, ticked off because maybe the person's not listening to me or is arguing with everything I say or is just having a real hard time, you know, because that does happen, you know. Giving readings for hours upon hour upon hour is a difficult thing to do. So we have to do some things to help ourselves out sometimes. One of the things that I think is real positive, so we can keep getting, giving you our very best during a reading, is to have a bowl of water near us. And this, of course, for obvious reasons, would make a person feel more centered and more calm. But I like to think that it absorbs any negative energy. And it just reminds me, when I see a bowl of water sitting there, and I see it just sitting there so calmly and so clean and so fresh, you know, that kind of thing, it reminds me to lighten up. It reminds me to let go of any kind of tension or anything that I'm feeling and just relax, because the energy in water is that way. Okay. Ancient people used, like the Egyptians, for instance, used water as a kind of generator, and they considered it to be a life force, a very literal life force. And that is exactly the way I picture it, too. That's why I think that's helpful. So have a bowl of water. It doesn't really matter what size next to it, any kind of a bowl that you like. I recommend some kind of pottery or glass, not plastic, because that just seems to kind of muck up the energy. I don't know why. I just prefer it that way. Now, our astral body, we have to think about too. It's the energy form that sits over us kind of like a suit, but it's suit shaped us, you know, if you know what I mean. But it collects all kinds of energy every day when we're out doing whatever it is we do, whether you have a day job or whatever it is we do, you know, wherever you are, you're going to pick up energy from that. And you may not realize it before long. You're feeling tired. You might be feeling kind of down. You might be feeling like, you know, you just have run out of energy. So being around water helps a great deal that way too. And even that's why you feel so great when you're taking a shower. After you take a shower, it's not just because you're cleaner, because that helps, but that it literally washes your etheric body as well. Essential oils are great. I love essential oils. There's I don't know if you've heard of them, but there's something called Bach flower essentials, Bach flower oils. They are, and you can find essential oils easily. Usually at Whole Foods, if you go there, a place like Trader Joe's, or even online, there's a lot of great places to get them. But essential oils are oils made from herbs, oils made from flowers, and they are like jasmine and eucalyptus, for instance. Gosh, there's so many of them, but they're for specific purposes. Now, they lavender is a great one for psychic ability and to help you connect with spirit. That's my favorite, really. They put you, like I said, remember what I was talking about before, things that put you in the mental state and the emotional state and the psychic state you need to be in order to function the best psychically. That's an excellent thing to do. And you can either put them on your body and read them first, because some of them can be very irritating and you can be very allergic to physically. So check that first. Or you can put them in the water on your bowl. Is also in your bowl of water is a very nice place to do that. Or you can even put them in a kind of electric steamer, like a potpourri, electric potpourri steamer or something like that. That's going to keep you where you need to be. Eating good, of course, and by that I don't mean eating a lot. I mean eating real food, not prepackaged crap. It's going to keep your psychic abilities the way they should be. Garbage in, garbage out. Absolutely. If you find that you haven't been eating or sleeping well or taking care of yourself, you're also going to find that your psychic ability and your intuition is going to be less and even frustrate you even more. And that's not what you want. You know, so do anything really that is going to make you feel good. And I don't mean delirious, but anything that's going to make you personally keep your mind in a clear and a happy place and not a depressed place, so that you can remain strong and do the best kind of readings that you need to do. There are a lot of different methods, and every psychic you talk to will give you a different one, and some of the same ones too. But it's important that you do those things. Otherwise, you just simply won't be effective, not over time anyway, if you expect to do this for a living, or if you expect to just be someone who gives readings or becomes a healer in any way, shape, or form for the betterment of mankind. So keep that in mind and take care of you first. Being a little selfish that way is a good thing to do. Now, let's get to some free readings, shall we? Think of a question, give you, about 3 minutes, if that. No, I think I'll go maybe 1 minute. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, clock's ticking. Think of something psychically.
You make my heart beat too fast.
Let's get to our free readings. Who in the chat room has a question? And I'll be more than happy to pull a card about it. We'll have our stalker section too. Don't worry about that. We're getting to it. Sean, do you have a question? Sequeria, do you have a question? Free, do you have a question? If not, I'll go to some email reading questions. The way that you can get a free reading on the show for me, other than being in the chat room, is to go to my site, resmerized.com. And send me a resmerandum, and you can ask about absolutely anything you want, and I'll give you a reading right here for free on this show. I'll even answer you personally back by email. How about that? So that's the way to do it. We'll start with, if nobody has a question in the room, we'll start with Vanita. She says she sent me a resmerandum on resmerize.com, and she says, the other day I thought I heard the voice of someone I hadn't seen for a very long time. It was as clear as if they were standing next to me. What does this mean? Should I be concerned? Let's see. Wow. Sounds like somebody was trying to get your attention. It wasn't me, I promise. What does this mean? Should you be concerned? You should be concerned, but you should not be worried. Let's see. Let's pull a card for you. Hi, Steve. The Empress is your card. Ooh, this is somebody who wants to get closer to you. And by that, I mean someone who has a great deal of admiration for you. They think that you're just so fine and so attractive. You know, the Empress is kind of an erotic card. because it probably means, a lot of times it means that someone wants to get close enough to you to mind meld and to body meld. This means that they think that you're someone who is approachable, which is a good thing. So I would say that someone's been thinking about you too, that the person that hasn't seen you for a very long, you haven't seen for a long time, hasn't seen you either, and they miss you just as much as you miss them. And I really feel like they're trying to contact you and like they don't know how. So what I would suggest is that you see what you can find online about this person, because I really think that it wouldn't be a mistake. I'm sensing that they're waiting and hoping for that to happen. Alrighty, next one, let's see. Sunny wants to know, why can't I find a nice man who I can love and be proud of? I can't find someone. Why? She says, goodness gracious. Why did the guys at the seminar I just went to contact me or talk to me? Why don't I ever meet anybody new or hot or someone that could be my boyfriend? She sounds like she's really kind of freaked out about it, you know. But hey, you know, I know that it can be frustrating. Not to me. So when will Sunny find a nice man? Let's see. Let me see. The Knight of Swords. Oh, this is so interesting. The Knight of Swords. What do knights do? They go on a mission. The Knight of Swords is someone who goes on a mission with mental intent, who has something in mind, who pursues somebody on purpose. And yes, I'm talking about you. They pursue you. Now, the really interesting bit about this is that you have to stop. You have to chill the heck out. You have to stop looking and trying so hard. You got to just let it go. You got to give it up and say, you know what? I am a lovable person. I'm a fabulous person. I'm a hot person. Therefore, whoever is supposed to be with me is going to find me and is going to pursue me. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. And if you have trouble believing that, I'll help you with that. Come find me on Psychic Access and we'll fix that. So what you got to do is get yourself in that state of mind, get yourself to be that kind of person. Then your knight is going to go on his mission and you best be on the lookout. That's what we're going to do. Alrighty, let's see. We have a question from Sequeria, the lovely Sequeria from Club Sequeria on PTN Radio. I'm planning on moving. I'm wondering if I will stay in my local area or move further away. Okay. But the cool thing about internet radio is you can do it from wherever you are, pretty much. Isn't that cool? I know you thought of that already. All right, will you be? Oh, all right. Let's see. Your first card, Sequeria, is the Five of Swords. And, boy, we have the Devil card too. The Five of Swords, don't be scared about the Devil card. It's okay, really. The Five of Swords is about someone moving on, someone leaving their past behind. It's a conscious decision. It's not something you just felt like doing one day. It's something you need to do on several levels, I feel, that you've come to the decision that it's going to have to happen. You know, maybe it's something that you didn't want at the beginning, but it's going to be a good thing. The Devil card is about being too attached to something or someone, being too bound to them. So here's the deal. I know that if the answer is moving somewhere else, to like to another state or something further away from your local area, that it's a concern for you and I feel some worry about that. What if that's what you have to do? But first of all, I feel like that is what you're going to be doing. But I want to tell you that you don't need to worry about that. And of course, it may be easy for me to say, because it's a scary thing to have to undertake. But it's going to be a good experience for you. I feel like you are going to be moving to another area. I don't feel like it's going to be hundreds of miles from where you are now, but I do feel like it's going to be a different state. And I'm seeing a roommate. I'm seeing a female roommate. And I'm seeing that the two of you have a lot in common. And I feel like that you know each other already. I feel like you're going to be a good team. And I feel like this is going to be an experience that's going to help you get where you want to be, creatively speaking and business speaking too, because for you, those two things are connected. all right, and I better go to the next one. Going on and on. But that's, if you have more questions about that, specifically about the things that I just said, please do email me from resmerize.com. Get a hold of me. You know how, and we'll delve into that further, okay? And I hope that that little bit was helpful for you. All right. I have time for another one. If anybody in the chat room wants to message me and say that, and give me a question. In the meantime, we'll go to Heather, from my site, who is a member of my site. Thank you, Heather. Oh, by the way, speaking of being a member of my site, if you go register for the Resmerati, if you go sign up for the newsletter, then you'll be a member of the Resmerati and you'll get notifications and free stuff that other people don't get. And that's coming up very soon, next week. You're very welcome, Sequeria, for that. So go do that. Go to resmerize.com, register on the site, and you'll get the newsletter and other stuff from me that I won't go into right now because that's not what we're doing. All right. Heather wants to know, Heather says, what does the next 2 months hold and how do I do it? That's a great way to ask a question. What's coming and how do I do it? All right. All right, your card is the Nine of Swords. that's real interesting because the Nine of Swords is something that's about frustration and it's about being, you know, kind of a low point. You know how when you end the day and you manage to get through your day, but all the thoughts in your head are like, it sucks to be me kind of a thing. All been there, I know for sure. So when you're at that point, the next 2 months for you aren't necessarily going to be full of that, but that's where you're headed. Now see, there's a condition. And the condition is, that's where you're headed if you let yourself keep doing everything the same way that you've been doing it. How do we change how we feel about anything? We have to take action first. N'est-ce pas? Yes, that is correct. We have to take action first. Then our feelings change, our beliefs change, our circumstances change. Now, just because something happens as perhaps the next thing in your life, like a job that you have to keep that you don't want to keep, for instance, which I feel is your deal. Think of that as a stepping stone to something else, because I'll tell you something, there's not one single thing on this planet, not one single circumstance, and not one single person that ever stays the same. Nothing, nobody, no how. Everything and everyone changes all the time. You know that thing where you're sitting on a train and you're going so fast that it looks like nothing's moving? That's where you are right now. Might look like nothing's moving, but that isn't true. So, you know, don't let yourself play the it sucks to be me pity party thing and you'll be fine. All right. Time for one more, I think. Anybody else? And, you know, I didn't open my Skype to let you call me because it crashed. All right. I tried. I really did. Next week, I'll have it open for the whole show, maybe. If you promise not to drive me nuts. I'll do that. All right. So one more. Let's see. Where are we here? We have to have, Delia 21 from my site. Also, hey, is my soulmate someone I already know? Like these guys, for instance, Amin is someone I just met, but I feel like I know him for ages, but there's also a friend. I think he has feelings for me. Which one is it? Which one? Well, who said you had to pick one? I mean, come on, you know, you're young. Have some fun while you still can. All right, which one is it? All right, let's look at Amin first and see what's going on with him. Nine of Cups is, you see, I always get a mini tarot lesson when you listen to me do readings like this. Just a mini one. And I got to say that you can never, ever tell the whole story about something from one crummy little card, okay? It really takes, you know, you can get a general idea, but it takes a bunch of cards and more time than this to actually get the feel for a situation and to see what's happening in the future. But all right, let's look at Amin. The Nine of Cups is about somebody who is emotionally content. That means they're not terribly excited about anything, but it also means they're not terribly upset about anything or dissatisfied with anything. everything's pretty cool in their world. And that's how they see you as well. The Nine of Cups means everything is just cool and everything is fine. However, when it comes to what you want from this person and what you want from them is a probable romantic relationship, they're probably going to be kind of like a dead fish. They're probably going to be very calm, very relaxed, very easygoing, and that's going to piss you off to no end. Because that means that they're not going to be very interactive. I know it would piss me off to no end. I'd be like, oh, my God, you know, are you hello in there? You know, kind of a thing. That's what he's about. All right. So what was the other guy's name again? She didn't give it. Just one. There's Amin and another guy. All right. So let's look at the other one too real quick and see what's going on with them. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh, more cups. But this time, it's the Three of Cups. Now, this card, the Three of Cups, is about celebrating love in relationships. This usually comes up when somebody gets engaged or is going to, or it's a brand new relationship. And you know how when you're first in a relationship and everybody's all giddy and acting retarded and running into walls and forgetting things and dropping stuff and all that? That's what this is. So your answer basically from this would be, keep Amin as a friend. Take him with you if you lose your teddy bear or something like that. But the other one is going to be a kicker. The other one's going to be really interesting and way more fun. One more. I have time for one more. Come on, type in a question. You can do it. I see you all. Type in a question. You can do it. We have 4 minutes. All right. I'm going to go to another email one if somebody doesn't type fast. All right. Oh, this is an interesting one that I got. And, you know, I honestly don't mind getting emails like this. And you probably, a lot of times people would, but this person says, you psychics are so full of it. If any of you are real, you would always read me for free. No, not ever going to happen. Nice try. And the reason we won't read you for free or for money probably is because you are an idiot. Now, on to Sean's question. No, really, come on. Have some self-respect. And I'm talking to the psychics out there. Sean, I'm curious about my upcoming female relationships for me. I'm wondering if I'm heading in the right direction and if this person is the one for me. Okay. All right, let's see. I want to shuffle the cards really well for you, Sean, because you're cool like that. Let's see. Shuffling. And Sean's card is, I remember you can always, like I said, you can always email me and ask me to elaborate since we don't have time to do a full-blown reading on the show here. All right. Oh, this is kind of cool, Sean. We have the Page of Swords. Misty taunts. I know why you're laughing because I am too. She's 11 at my because you're a moron comment. All right. Page of Swords is swords. If you can't have fun reading cards, then why bother? The Page of Swords is really neat, Sean. Swords are about associated with mental aspects, things like thinking, ideas, beliefs, decisions, strategy. And what do pages do? Pages bring news. So your card, the Page of Swords, you have a very good strategy. You have a good idea. You have a good mind. You're making the right choices. I would say this person is for you. I'm also feeling like, well, I'll just put it this way. When you feel that something is too good to be true, sometimes it is. This time it's not. All right. So you hang in there and I will talk with you happily about that more, Sean. Let me know. And thank you all for coming and for listening and for participating on PTN Radio Live here. And now here's my secret, a very simple secret. It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Stay tuned for Inception Radio. Don't you dare move, because I'll know if you do. And until next week, God bless and rest in peace.
And
we thank you for being brave enough to get mesmerized for a little while, but we can't stay. We release you now to your world of creature comforts and reality as you perceive it to be, hoping that you will not be quite the same as you ever were. Do come again.